Greetings to you all in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm blessed to be here, looking forward to a great week here at Camp Sierra, and we're just going to have a great time. So if you would, please take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. You probably know what verse since you know the topic of the week, right? I thought we would start with this verse tonight in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. We're going to spend some great time here this week looking at the topic of prayer. Prayer. Talking to God. Acknowledging the presence of God. Inviting God to get involved in our lives. Requesting help from God. Asking God for assistance. Asking God for guidance and help. Thanking God. Praising God. Someone once defined prayer as a continual conversation with God. And the latter part of this verse says, let your request be made known unto God. And here in this church epistle, which is addressed to the born-again believers, God is telling us that we should let our requests be made known unto Him, unto God. We have been invited to pray to God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. That's who we are praying to. And I thought as we begin this week, we ought to remember who we're praying to. To God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Of course, a lot of what I was going to share has already been covered in the manifestation, so this will be a five-minute teaching because we already had. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, without believing, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. For without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God, and certainly if we're praying to God, we're coming to Him with our requests, with our petitions for intercession, or thanking Him, or praising Him. And he that cometh to God must believe that He is, that He is God, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Our God is a rewarder. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He's a God of answered prayer. And when we pray to God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, we need to remember that He is a God of answered prayer. And people can say a lot of things about God if they want, I guess, but God is who He reveals Himself to be in His Word. And God has revealed to us that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Take a look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Just up ahead a little ways. 1 Peter chapter 3. So he that cometh to God must believe that He is God. And that means who God says He is in His Word, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. It says here that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Do you know why His eyes are over the righteous? Because He wants to bless us. He wants to supply our needs. He is a God of answered prayer. and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Look at James, back up a little bit to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. No variableness. That's what our God is. He's not a God that varies. You ever used a variable speed drill? You know, you can start real slow, and or a blender has different speeds. God has one speed, constant. There's no varying. He is who he says he is in his word. There's a verse in Malachi that says, I am the Lord God, the Lord God, and I change not. God doesn't change, and he doesn't vary. That's pretty good, don't you think, to know that? Because we just read that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Well, God is not hearing our prayers tonight, and then Tuesday, he's a little distracted, and by Thursday of this week, he doesn't hear or answer any prayers. God, there is no variableness. He does not vary. And that means then that God's predictable. People say, well, you can't figure God out, and he's mysterious, and you just never know about God. No, God's very predictable, because God reveals who he is and what he does in his word, and along with that has told us that there's no variableness. So God's very predictable. We're a little bit predictable. The only thing we're predictable about is that we're unpredictable. Because we can go, but God never changes. I am the Lord, I change not. There is no variableness. So we're praying to a God who is loving, who is kind, who is loving, who is merciful, who is powerful, who is forgiving, who is tender, who is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Our God wants to bless and provide. Our God wants to heal and to deliver. And he does not change. He does not vary from that. The great men and women that you read about in the Bible were men and women who loved and reverenced God and recognized his great goodness. The great men and women that you read about in the Bible were men and women who loved and reverenced God and who recognized his great goodness. And throughout the centuries, great men and women of God also loved and reverenced God and recognized his great goodness. Take a look at Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. And in verse 17, and when he, the Lord Jesus Christ, was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Look at the great reverence the Lord Jesus Christ had for God. And you would have thought that the Lord Jesus Christ, if someone called him good master, that might have blessed him. I mean, he could have said, you know, it's nice to see someone recognizing that I'm doing some good. Seems like everybody else wants to stone me. They don't believe what I'm saying. They say I've got a devil spirit. I get all this. So nice of you to come, sir, and recognize I'm doing something good. He said, Why are you calling me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. What great reverence the Lord Jesus Christ had for God. Go to Psalm 18. Let's look at David and his reverence for God. And you know, David is called in the Bible a man after God's own heart. And we'll read a little bit about David. Psalm 18. We'll be in Psalms for a little bit. Psalm 18. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Boy, look at the great reverence that David had for God. It's really tremendous. Recognizing the goodness of God and having great love and reverence for God is foundational to an effective prayer life. There are 9 my's, I think, in the first 2 verses. My strength, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. For David, God was everything. God, you are my everything. Take a look at, let's keep reading here. Let's read verse 4. Or start again in verse 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Look back at Psalm 8. Psalm 8. Look at this. O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Now watch this. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers. Do a lot of work with your fingers? You lift a lot of stuff, right? No. But when I consider the heavens and the work of thy fingers, the mount and the star, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, when I consider all of that you did with your fingers, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? That's why I said recognizing the goodness of God and loving and reverencing God is foundational to an effective prayer life. Let's go back to Psalm 18 where we were. Boy, you look at all God's great beauty. Who are we that God should be listening to us? And yet we read that his eyes are upon us. We know other verses where God's ears are open to our prayers, that he's a God of answered prayer, and that doesn't change. We looked at the my's in this. Let's look at the I's in Psalm 18, verse 1 through 3. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. I will love thee, I will trust, I will call upon thee, and then what? I'll be saved. Love God, trust God, call upon him, and then receive the deliverance. Psalm 31. The great men and women that you read about in God's Word recognized God's goodness and had great awe, reverence, and respect for God. Psalm 31. Psalm 31. You know, if we had time this week, we'd just read all the Psalms a couple of times. There's so many great prayers in the book of Psalms. The great heart of prayer, you can see so much of it in the book of Psalms. In Psalm 31, let's start in verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear or reverence thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Well, that sounds sort of funny, doesn't it? The Revised Standard Version has this verse as follows. Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly requites, or makes an end of, makes an end in full of him who acts haughtily, proud. We'll talk about pride in a few minutes and how pride certainly really interferes with a person's prayer life. But look at the great goodness of God. The Lord preserveth the faithful. And verse 24, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Be of good courage. Don't faint. God will bring his word to pass for you. Psalm 145. Aren't these great to read about our God and how great God is? Our God is great. Our God is wonderful. Psalm 145. It says, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. You notice something about that? I will extol thee, my God, O King. Keep your finger here for a second. We'll come right back. But go to Psalm 24. O King. Psalm 24. We'll be right back here. But just look at Psalm 24 for a second. And in verse 6. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, Selah. You can go back to Psalm 145. Look at David's reverence for God. David was king of Israel. Who was subject unto David? Everybody and everything. He was king, and yet David addressed God as, O my King. That's humility. That's reverence. Psalm 145, verse 1 again. Praise ye... Oops, wrong one. There we go. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another. Hey, that got the teens in, didn't it? Hooray! There you are. Oh, we're in this? Yes. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. Terrible acts. You know, when we think of the word terrible, what do we think of? Something horrible, something very bad. So God has terrible acts? This word terrible comes from the same Hebrew word that's also translated fear not. Fear not. Of course, then it's also translated fear the Lord. So when we read fear the Lord, we know God doesn't mean we're to go run and hide. It means to have great reverence, great respect, and great awe. Fear the Lord, reverence the Lord. But this word terrible comes from that same word, that same Hebrew word. The New International Version has this verse 6 as follows. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. Our God is awesome. Our God is to be revered, respected, honored. Stand in awe of God. He is just awesome. Isn't that neat? Verse 6 again. And men shall speak of the might of thy awesome acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall or about to fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. That's our God. And he doesn't vary from this. He's constant. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. That's good news, isn't it? The Lord's not near to all them that call upon him. He doesn't vary from that. To all that call upon him in truth, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear or reverence him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Boy, oh boy. What a loving, caring, kind, gracious, good, merciful, tender, rewarding God. That's who we're praying to. That's where our prayers, our petitions, our requests go to. God, who's just awesome. You don't need to turn there, but in Psalm 107, four different times it says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that we would just praise God and tell him how great he is. Sometimes we like to talk about how great we are, how big we can believe. And why don't we just tell God how great he is? Why don't we boast about God, brag about our God? Because our God is just awesome. God wants us to know that he is good and kind and gracious. I think he told us in manifestations tonight, he wants us to know. He's given us his word, and he doesn't vary from that. Before we close in Chronicles, I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Many times, pride ruins our prayer life. And I'll show you that here in 1 Peter chapter 5. What an exciting week we have ahead of just spending a whole week focusing on prayer. It's going to be wonderful. In 1 Peter 5, verse 5, it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Now, I realize this is addressed to elders, but think about it for a minute. If God resisteth an elder who is proud, does that mean if I'm not an elder and I'm full of pride, God's going to welcome me with open arms? Well, don't think so. God resisteth the proud. So whether you're an elder or not, I mean, if this is good conduct for elders, it'd be good conduct for everyone. You think? Sure. It says here, be clothed with humility. It's a free will decision. You decide if you want to be humble. You decide if you want to be clothed with humility. It's your decision. It's always your decision and my decision. In Philippians, you can read where it says Jesus Christ humbled himself. He made the decision to be humble. He humbled himself and became obedient. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Jesus Christ, by the freedom of his will, humbled himself. He humbled himself. So we decide if we want to put on humility. But we know here that God gives grace to the humble. God gives grace to the humble. So we ought to stay humble before God. We ought to reverence God because he gives grace to the humble. And you know what? He doesn't vary from that. He doesn't go, oh, gee, maybe I ought to just... He's locked into his word. There's no variableness. There's no shadow of turning. I am the Lord. I change not. But we know that God does give grace to the humble. Verse 6. Well, what should I do then? Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he, God, may exalt you in due time. And he will exalt. And then verse 7 that we heard at least twice in manifestations tonight. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Casting all your care. Not just the big ones, but the little ones too. Oh, I'm not going to bother God with this little thing. I can handle that because after all, I'm a genius at meeting my own needs. That doesn't sound humble, does it? God, I'll take care of, let's see, what am I going to do today? I'll take these, you take that. For David, God was his everything. And it said, what does it say here? Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He's the one that asked us to cast it all. Now, if this would have said, handle what you can, what you can't, let me do it. Then we could judge. Well, let's see. This is mine today. That's his. But he says, cast all your care. And when you don't cast all your care, guess what? Does that sound humble? No. No, it doesn't. So we cast all our care upon him. Be clothed with humility. Verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And I think, you know, sober means not just intoxicated. What's a good word? Ditzy? Anybody know what ditzy is? Dizzy? Okay. Scatterbrained? Spacey? Aloof? Just floating through life? I mean, you don't really... There's some people that don't need a bit of alcohol to be that way. You know, God's saying, wake up. Don't go through life just floating around. Have your mind sharp. You know, we don't ever just totally relax because... No, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, in the right way of believing, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered or endured a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's close in 2 Chronicles. Again, recognizing the goodness of God and having great love and reverence for him is foundational for an effective prayer life. And you know what? That's why we're not into God jokes. You know, jokes that poke fun at God. I don't know about you. I don't like those. I don't like to hear them. I don't think they're funny. He's God Almighty. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. How does he get to be the blunt of jokes? jokes. We're to reverence God, show great reverence and respect. I saw a movie, a Bible movie once. Maybe you've seen it. It's a movie, and a lot of it was pretty accurate. But it was a movie of Joseph. And my favorite part of the whole movie was when Jacob's sons were talking about going back into Egypt to get some more corn, you know, because the famine was there. And one of Jacob's sons popped off and said something kind of irreverent. And the guy portraying Jacob went, "You watch what you lay at the feet of God. Like, don't you talk about God." And I just love that part, because it's like, don't you say nothing about God. And you know, when our kids were small and we were raising them, you know, you hear stuff. I mean, you can't go just about anywhere without somebody going, "My God. Oh, God. God." Is that reverence? No, not at all. It's irreverence. To God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has given us freely eternal life. I never hear anybody go, "Oh, Buddha." Have you? Never. But we used to teach our kids that if I hear them go, "Oh, God," I go, "Are you praying? Because if you're not praying, let's watch what you're saying. You're talking about God Almighty." So, and again, the great men and women in the Bible loved and reverenced God, and they recognized God's great goodness. And the same is true with men and women through the centuries. Great men and women of God reverenced God, loved God, had great respect for God, and recognized His great goodness. So let's begin this week reverencing God and having a great respect and awe for our loving Heavenly Father, for His goodness and kindness. 2 Chronicles 16. Forgot to tell you what chapter? Okay. See, God has not changed. His ears are still open unto our prayers. In Proverbs, it says that the prayer of the upright is His delight. God is always delighted to hear from us. That doesn't change. Isn't that good to know? Because sometimes we wonder, "Oh, I've messed up so bad." He's still delighted to hear from us. Have you ever got a phone call from somebody that you just really love and you haven't heard from them for a while? And they go, "Hey, how you doing?" You're like, "Hey, hi, how are you?" That's God. When we call upon Him, when we cry unto Him, He's delighted to hear from us because He loves us, and that love doesn't change. That love doesn't vary. Boy, what a great God, huh? God bless you. Verse 9. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them who are perfect," and never make a mistake. No. "Show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him." And that would be a reverent heart. Someone who has reverence, awe, love, respect for our God. I think He deserves it, don't you? He certainly does. So let's not boast about how much we pray, how big we believe, but rather, let's praise God. Let's boast about how great God is, how wonderful God is, how He's a God of answered prayer, how His ears are always open unto our prayers, how He's kind, tender, loving, gracious, how He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, how we can pour out our heart to Him, how is it that He's mindful of us with all that He did with His finger? Who is man that He is mindful, but that He loves us and that He's given us eternal life? How awesome He is, how faithful He is, how trustworthy our God is, how reliable He is, how awesome our God is. I think this is going to be a great opportunity for all of us, for me and for you, to grow in our personal prayer life this week. And so let's begin the week by reverencing God and recognizing His great goodness.